this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with the other half of my, I don't know, my heart flame, my twin flame. Yeah, I don't know. No, then are we like, then we're like two, like MGK and fucking what's
that's her hot. Name? I mean,
weird. My twin flame. Right, yeah, then it gets weird.
Yeah.
Amelia Behar.
Hi. We're doing this without Sabrina, so I don't even.
Oh, God help us.
That's no good. But we have guests with us.
Yay! We have Roxy Manning and Tamin Sursok from Women on Top. We are doing a podcast trade with these two awesome ladies. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. I feel like we know so much about you since we spent like an hour and a half talking.
Yeah, I know. We did back-to-back shows. So we were just on their show. Now they're on our show. And
a real date. It's like a real dating experience.
We've come back for a second date. You know what I mean? Like it went well on yours. Right. Now we're like, why don't you come to our house?
Or you just see how it goes. Yeah. Because we had planned this previously.
Well, that's true. Also, there's that. Also, the fact that, right, that they're like, oh God, we said we'd be with these people till noon. And now, fuck,
Amelia, I want to have to.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, that's certainly what I'm saying. No, but we are so glad that you're here today. I'm not sure whose podcast episode is going to air first, but make sure you check out our podcast exchanges because we had some great conversations on Women on Top as well. Yeah. So I also want to warn everyone in case you start hearing what sounds like a swarm of angry bees or a chainsaw. It's a chainsaw because, of course, they're going to start chainsawing a tree in my neighbor's yard right as we're starting to record.
You said angry bees. This is a true story. When we left California, it was like definitely a reason of, you know, I think we're getting signs here. There was this buzzing sound on top of our house. And we were like, we should probably check what that is. It's been there for a while. We went up. There was killer bees on our roof. And I'm not talking like just a couple. There were thousands of killer bees.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have a bee's nest or some sort of wasp nest happening outside of my bathroom window because I keep seeing them kind of flying around. I keep listening though, but I can't see the corner of like the overhang. I have a feeling that my worst nightmare is going to come true and it's going to happen. And and I'm going to have to, I rent this house. So it's really going to suck when I burn it down. But that's just what's going to have to happen. Also, my pool guy came yesterday and now there's going to be trees on it. We've had an algae problem in this pool for over a month.
You have. Every time I'm over, I'm like, why is your pool so
I don't know. Deep? I don't know. And again, you know, like we live in California. Part of me is like, I don't even want to deal with this pool. But also we live in California in the valley. It's 109,000 degrees out here. Mm-hmm. So also we need the pool. In like algae to the point you couldn't see like
it's green.
The bottom of it was like fully green.
Yeah,
there was a crocodile.
Doesn't seem sanitary.
Sure. Yeah,
it was definitely like an Australian pond.
Vitus in it, but it's probably
yeah.
I have mine covered because you know you're supposed to cover them to save water and also it helps you know heat it. My pool's not heated, and I was like the other day it was so hot and I was like you know I always feel better when I go in the pool. I'm just gonna go in the pool. It was 98 degrees in my pool because it's like swimming in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bizarre.
Warm sea really water.
Strange.
Well, luckily for us, everyone, the EPA has just been gutted. So we're going to be doing a lot better in this country. Yeah. Like we're going to be drinking pool water pretty soon here in California, chlorine or not. And so it's great. Yeah. Everything's fine. The world's not
we're
on fire.
Good. We're feeling
all great. It's
we're sleeping well.
So, I know. Yeah. I've gotten so much sleep this week, and I tell you,
depression sleep is the best.
Same.
Oh.
Who needs health rights and who needs the EPA, right?
I'll tell you what. I slept in a bean bag in my living room last night because that's how well I'm sleeping. If that gives you any indication of how things, I'm not even fucking kidding, how well things are going in my house. I was like, I'm just going to curl up in a bean bag. Like, and that's really like, that's my best. With a blankie, and I'm just like I'm in my womb. I'm like crawling back in the womb.
Yeah.
Just that's it.
Bar chocolate, like just you got to get back in there, right?
Ding ding chocolate. Ding ding ding. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so you both of you, please, each of you, if you could introduce yourselves, tell the people a little about yourselves and what your parenting stats are, as we call them, and also let us know how you guys met.
Well, my name is Tamin Sursok. I guess been in, most people know me as an actor. I was a child actor to some extent. I started at 13 and 14 in Australia. I was on a TV show there, Home and Away, with Chris Hemsworth. I was working with him. He hasn't done very well, obviously. I'm like, will this guy just get it, you know, get a break?
It's too bad that
nothing ever worked out for him. Guy, he just should probably just get a chance at something.
Terrible looking also.
So I was on Home and Away, then moved to the States, America, when I was 20 years old with one suitcase and a hope and a dream. And since then, I've been able to work in film and TV for the last 20 years. God, how old am I now? I'm in my 30s. And I think most people would know me from a show called Pretty Little Liars, which was a great show that was on for about 8 years. And now we are in Nashville, my husband and I. We create content online, on social media, funny content, try to form a community, try to make people feel less isolated, less alone, and motherhood and being a family. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm sure there's other parts to the story, but I think those are the main buzz points.
I'm glad to know you moved here with a suitcase and some hopes and dreams, and that you still
now
have one
I
suitcase.
Have
now you have all those hopes and dreams have been crushed and you still have one suitcase. Yeah.
No hopes anymore.
Oh, and I have two children. I have two young girls. One is 3.5 and feisty, and the other is 8 and even feistier. So I thought the second child was going to be
familiar.
No.
Not easier. I'm like, great. Second one slept through the night. She actually tells us when she wants to go to bed, which is amazing. But they're just both batshit crazy. And it's my fault, which I talk about with my therapist. They say you don't ever get children that you're supposed to look in the mirror and work out parts of you with the children that you're given. So I definitely have children.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Well, you're on the right show, my friend.
Definitely failing in parenthood. No, my daughter said last night, she said, we live in paradise. She said, I'm so lucky to be in this family. And I was like, wait a second. What do you want?
But my 14-year-old screamed, we live in hell.
I'm not fucking up my kids. I'm just keeping them really away from the news. Because they think they're...
And I am Roxy Manning. Tim and I are co-hosts on Women on Top. And I started my career, the entertainment portion of my career, I should say, as a red carpet reporter. So covering movie premieres and fashion weeks, you know, from New York to Paris, kind of all over the world, and interviewing some really interesting people on the red carpet. I launched a blog called Red Carpet Roxy with a Y. Not IE. You know, just really enjoyed doing that for 15 years. And I also have a daughter. She's 8 years old, married to my husband of 16 years now. Wait. 2005.
Forget 17. Once it's past 10.
Yes, 17 years. My God. So we have our 8-year-old daughter. I have 3 rescue dogs because I'm also a dog mama. We love the doggies. And we live in Los Angeles, but we're being pulled. I don't know. We're leaving the universe open right now to see kind of where we land. Do we leave? Do we go somewhere else? I know Tim is like, come to Nashville.
Please be near me.
I know, that would be fun. That would be quite fun. So yeah, we're just kind of trying to figure it out now. But we launched Women on Top in 2019. We're going into our 4th season of our show, which is really exciting. We talk about everything from, you know, boobs to kids to anal sex. Sorry, guys, if that's too much.
Excuse me. Throw that out there when people aren't prepared, Roxy.
If they're listening, don't worry. They're listening to our show we have such hard-hitting titles as boobies, periods, and vaginas. And you get the jizz of it. So anal sex
sex, we're out. We're done.
Anal isn't really sex, you know?
Anal sex is the least of our problems. And although, considering that we all live in America,
we'll be having that coming up.
Well, not if we keep going the way we're going, because sodomy laws are going to be back. So anyway, folks. Yeah.
Much like your audience, you know, our audience is the same in that anything goes, you know, we say anything, we talk about anything, we talk about obviously very controversial subjects, you know, we talk about our lives as parents and the things we're doing good and the things we're doing bad, which yeah. sometimes for me, I feel like the bad, sometimes always the good, always the you know, good. Right? Right.
Well, that literally our entire podcast is, you know, the premise of it is never thought I'd say this. And it came about because we were like, I didn't realize all the things that I was going to have to tell another human being while raising them, like things that you just sort of take for granted. And, you know, we are very open, honest, raw, unfiltered moms and women. So it's a pleasure to have two others that are just like us on the podcast, because there's no telling what the hell is going to happen with this episode. Welcome.
Thank you.
But I know we'd love to hear, do you ladies have, and I'm sure you do, given what your podcast is, any never thought I'd say this moments with your kids in your journeys of parenting, things that you never thought you'd have to say to another human being that have led you to realize and or reevaluate your parenting?
I know,
and if not, we've got a shit ton of
right. I know for me, I've said things. I mean, when she was younger, there was always something going into the mouth, right? So it was always like, don't put fill in the blank, inanimate object, you know, non-edible object into your mouth. You know, I do remember one time she did swallow a quarter when we were sitting on the floor together in her.
Did it come out the other end?
Did you wait for it? I freaked out. So you know how crazy and
it's still inside her?
No, I
wait, your audio cut out. What did she swallow? Was up her hair?
She swallowed a quarter. She was playing with a quarter and she put it in her mouth. Okay, there's one right there. Don't put the quarter in your mouth. She put the quarter in her mouth and she swallowed it. She was laying down.
Right, don't swallow a quarter.
Don't swallow a quarter. But I pushed her back up, sitting up so fast because I freaked out. Then it went projectile, out of her mouth. Okay, it came up the
You folded her in half so abruptly that it was like the Heimlich maneuver wasn't even necessary. You just were like, quah! Like, just
Child
she didn't swallow a quarter. Well, she didn't swallow a quarter, but she did get whiplash. So that was the unfortunate part.
Every time my kid chokes, like even if it's not that bad, I'm like, get it out. And they're like scream crying. They've got like bruises on their back and they're like not even really that choking. But I'm so afraid they're going to like choke on something because it's that my first daughter used to choke so much that she constantly we're in on the freeway to be like and that can't breathe sound, not even a cough, because you're supposed to wait for the cough sound,
right?
So I've had to hit her on the back and get that up, and she also was a big vomiter. She'd always projectile vomit all the time, in people's houses and school all the time. But my second one doesn't really choke, but when she does, I don't know what it is. It just freaks me out and I'm just whacking him on the back.
I'm not going to lie. When you said my first daughter, I thought you meant your first as in there was like a practice one that had an unfortunate thing. And you were like, my first one. And then it just all, you know, we tried again.
My first one choked. And then
that's how I was like, oh my God. And then she was like, oh, I was like, oh, I thought, I'm sorry. Don't look at me like that, Celia. Come on, it's the least of
upset. I'd be like, I just
got her.
Telling that story, all I could think about was when I was a kid, I had this piggy bank that was an elephant, and you'd put like, you know, a quarter in the trunk or whatever. Oh. Pull and it'd go click and it like flip it into its back, and that was the piggy bank. And like basically made your daughter into that. Like she like popped a quarter in and you were like, nope.
A folding lawn chair too, you know, just literally like
right.
And it was just out the mouth.
I mean, I don't know if there's anything that I haven't I didn't think I'd say that, but things I didn't think I'd have to rephrase this. My first daughter went missing.
Just so Jody knows you
she knows that. Right. That's all right. Now I know that. I know now there's a first and a second.
First and second.
Came back. One is fine. Here. It's okay, all
so my first daughter went missing in a hotel room when she wasn't able to walk, right? So she was probably 9 months old and maybe 6 months old. She could sit, but she couldn't walk. And we couldn't find her. We're in the hotel room. We did not find her. Like I'm screaming at my husband because I do think if you have a first child, I do have two. I feel like I'm a little less stressed with my second because you've seen it all on the first time. You're like, oh, okay, that's what that means. She doesn't have a concussion. She can look at me in the eye. But I could. I was like, the door, was the door open? He's like, no, the door's been shut. So we spent no one was crying. There was no sound. We're like, where is our kid?
She just rolled under the bed.
Amy was on the bed and she fell behind the bed. So her legs are up and she was upside down, totally fine. Like not upset about it, not hurt, hadn't broken anything. She was just fully upside down. Her legs are up And so I saw her feet and I was like, oh my God. And I up by her feet and she flung back on the bed. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with right. you guys? Like,
right.
like, what's the problem? I was like hysterical. I was like, I thought she'd gotten away, but she couldn't walk or crawl.
Right. Like, or open a door. Right.
Like, yeah. Like, somewhere else going for a pee. Did they walk in and take my baby? It was a whole mental gymnastics, but she was fine. She was fine. I've done two things like that, but that was the first.
It's like when they can't move, you think that, like, you know, when they really can't go anywhere, you think you're safe. But like, also yeah. then when they start doing things that you weren't prepared for, like, I remember, I was just telling my youngest one this story about herself the other day. We were all laughing. I used to have like a crib tent for my kids because I have cats and the cats would go in there and I'd be like, the hell you're going to go in there, get out. And so I, you know, crib tent them for whatever reason with the younger one. I didn't know that I needed it. Like, the cats weren't interested in going in there anymore. I didn't have it on. I didn't think she was capable of getting out. She was young. She was like, you know, barely walking. And I just remember sitting downstairs and hearing, like, all of a sudden just hearing like a that, and then just hearing. Oh. And I was like, what? And I went up and she's like in the hallway in her sleepy pajamas, you know, in her feety pajamas.
Yeah.
I don't even know where she was going. She's like, book it up and
down. Right. Okay. That's the thing. You don't find out they can do it until they do it. You're like, yeah. Oh my God.
So I remember her in there because I was like, what happened? So I put her back in right. there and I kind of like closed. I was like, go to bed. And I closed the door and I kind of stood and I just watched, you know, you see the head pop up and she like holds herself up and just flips her whole body over the grave and she's hanging on and just goes tick, and like falls down and then up and just, and I'm like, wow, man.
That's the day your life changed.
Right. Now I never get to sit down again.
I remember when I can't remember. I think it might have been Zoe. Maybe it was B. It had to have been B. I was living in an apartment at the time and it was on a second floor and there was the crib and like the changing table. And once she figured out she could do it, she like hurled herself up on the thing and then stood up on top of the changing table, which was like in front of the high window that, like, if she fell, you know, I like, then it was like, oh, that's it. Everything's done. Lockdown. We're not, you know, like drop the mattress. There's put the, you know, the cage right. on. She's going to go flying out the window. Mm. Right. It's terrifying. Yes. Terrifying.
I ate my kid's thing. I almost ate her finger.
What?
What it was. Like, I'm trying to think of a better way to say it. But I pretty much ate her finger. She used to eat like fish.
Did it taste like chicken? Sorry.
It did. It actually did. It was, I have a lot of grizzly bits in it when I was going to. But she put her finger in the chicken. I think it was a chicken nugget or a fish finger or something. She put her finger in it. And we were playing a game like, you want to eat? I'll eat. She, like, I was like, it's my turn to eat. And so down so hard. Like, I was making a point. I was like, right? And I just remember the look on her face, like, you were meant to protect me. Like,
oh my God.
You're meant to protect me. She looked at her finger and it was like bleeding and like
teeth hit bone, right?
Oh my God. Teeth hit bone. Totally.
Oh.
And I remember at that point, and it was my first kid, and she was like, I wasn't that far into parenting. So it was the first year or two.
I ate my child.
I was like, I hate myself. Like, I hate my, like, I'm done. Like,
oh,
I'm out.
Oh, honey.
Anymore. Like,
I want to give you a hug right now. I never thought I'd say this. I ate my child.
Yeah. I have a scar on my head because my mom hates herself for this.
Did your mom try to eat your entire head? Oh my God.
She locked my hands in the door. When we were in South Africa, I don't know why that's part of the story, but it is, just for context. She slammed my fingers in the door and she pulled the door so hard it slammed off and smashed me in the head and knocked me out. And
so it's
doctor,
a family trait, basically.
In South Africa, they were just like, oh, fuck it. We won't give her a stick. So they just like put a sticker on, like one of those scary strips.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's why I have a scar on my head. I don't see it because I can't see my face all the time, but my mother always looks at it, and like, I see that pain and hate.
Oh, right. She's like, that was the time that I tried to kill you. That's right. Yeah, right.
I ruined my chat.
Oh. But have you guys noticed this? I noticed too, and maybe this is like a now thing too, that all the parents, especially like in California, like have like a plastic surgeon on speed dial for their kids for that exact reason, for when.
What? Really? What? I don't know.
Face. A
No. It's going to be some super glue, a hope and a prayer around here. It's you know what I mean? Like
a stapler.
I had a kid go
be tape.
I had one go face first. This was years ago, probably 6-7 years
more than that now.
And when I passed out, yeah, the older one pushed the younger one running to the bathtub to race into a cabinet. The younger one went face first, split her nose. I thought it was broken. I don't do well with blood. I'm home alone. I pass out. It was a whole scene. Right. But like, yeah, no, I like took the kids. I mean, we had to take him to the thing. And then she's like hanging out in the hospital, like boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, no, you are broken. Like you need to act like it. I did not wait here like for 3 hours.
Right.
For you. Right. Like at least act injured. You know what I mean? Like something's wrong. But yeah, those moments as a parent when you're like, that's it. I bit my child. I smacked him in the face. Yep, I opened the car door into them. Mm-hmm. I left them somewhere.
That's pretty rare. How many people can say I ate my kid's finger? Almost.
Well, how many kids can say that they were nearly eaten by their own parent and lived to tell the tale? Yeah, that's really what it is. It feels very Brothers Grimm to me. I feel like there's a very, you know, do you live in a gingerbread house?
I do actually. My kids
got it. Making so much more sense. You're trying to fatten them up, aren't you? No.
If we have like a never that I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's something like everyone can relate to. If a lot of people write in after that and they're like, yes, me too. I almost ate my child. Like, I think I'm working.
Yeah. I want to know. Please let me know if there's emails that say, oh my God, what happened to me?
Yeah, right. If your kids, they're like,
my 63 people this has happened to. So you're not, you don't have to feel so alone and isolated.
Not an entirely, accurate, large scale study, but still, at least one other person out there that's nearly eaten their child. Let us know.
Yeah, we like to call her Tammable Lecter. So it's her nickname, Tammable Lecter.
Right. She's like, my daughter's name is Clarice. It was sort of weird. Yeah.
And I lost my kid. I feel like that's another one. Like, who loses their child?
Everyone
at Disneyland, but not in your own hotel room that's locked.
That is
right. Everyone, I just want you to know Tammin's children are, there are two of them. They are present, accounted for. All digits are here. They are not, they are fine. Everything is fine. Please,
one
no
only
one
has
call CPS.
Four fingers on her right hand, but.
One has a hole.
Fine.
But it's no big deal. Yeah. I lost Harper, my older one. I lost her in Old Navy once. She was the kid that loved to go into the
in the racks.
Oh, right.
You know? And like you turn your back and then there's like all, so many. I couldn't find her and I totally.
And then your anxiety, right?
My God. And I'm like looking for her and the security person's looking for her. And at one point I like walk by one of the racks and I just hear, and I was like,
so scary.
And I just remember the self-talk, which was like, you have to keep it together in the store. You will get
there
and you'll keep her together in the store. You will not scream in this child's face in the store. But it was like I got her out of it and did the okay, we have to go in the room. My teeth are
I'm
like,
so glad you're okay. Right.
And as I'm walking to the car, basically dragging her there, and she's looking at people going, help me, help me, help me. And it was
you scared mommy. I thought you were gone. Right.
It was so funny because I was like, thank God this kid looks like me because otherwise people would think I was kidnapping her. Cause she was like, help me, help me. Cause she knew she was in trouble. And as we're walking out, I'm still just clenching. I was like, you are in so much
So I have to say recently, I actually talking about kids being dragged somewhere by their mother and people looking and everyone and just sort of assuming oh, it's fine. There was a kid at CVS who did I tell the story on our podcast, Celia, or was it? No.
I remember.
There was a, I don't even know. There was a kid at CVS. I was there buying stuff and they were with their parents. At least I hope so. Otherwise, I really sort of
screwed up
just
there.
Let this kid go. Right. No, but they were with their mom to get a vaccine, to get a shot. Mm. And I also have a child that turns into a screaming little terrorist when anything involving shots are involved, which I get to take her to the pediatrician today. So that's going to be fun. But anyway, this kid's in CVS and all of a sudden starts screaming. And mom's over there trying to, and he's like, stop touching me. You're not my mom. Get away from me. I don't know this lady. She's touching me. Kid takes runs to the front of the store out the fucking door, screaming the whole time, "I don't know who you are! Get away from me!" And the mom's running. Mom's running, right. And she's like, and you could see the look on her face, which was like, I'm sorry, and also I'm going to kill you, and also I swear I'm related, and like
swear I'm
so many things. But it was like out onto the corner of like, you know, like major intersection here in LA. And she snatches and the kid's outside going, "I don't know her! I don't know her!" And I'm like, oh my God. Jordan
looks like a Muppet right now, the way that she's
right, just like way arms flailing, but this kid,
that's
like
a smart kid.
Right?
That's, my kid was like, never did that. Never.
Because there's and this mom's like, I'm sorry, hi. And I'm just like, oh.
Although performance of the year from the non-mom that this kidnapper was.
Right. I mean, that's true. Like the kid, and then they got into a van. With no license plates, but I think everything's fine. No, but she was like, please calm down. You cannot say that. You cannot say that about your mother. Mom, no. And then he started calling her mom. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
I knew it, but like, damn, we all, like everyone in the store was like, oh shit. You know, like,
it's so hard when they're having those
and you didn't. And then I was thinking like, oh my God, no. But then the thought did occur to me, no one did anything. And this kid's like, that's not my mom. That's not my mom. And everyone's like, oh, that's probably his mom. Like, you know, oh shit. Like, what happened?
I would have been the person,
you know?
I would have been like, Sean, to my husband, I don't think that's his mother.
Why did you ask me to say something?
Like, I'm too shit scared to say it. But Sean, you go say something.
Right.
Go speak to her.
Can I see your driver's license? What? I don't know. Like, I would.
I'm wildly torn between like being jealous that this kid thought of this, and why did I never think of it as a kid? Like, how many times I wanted to be like, that's not my mom.
I would have been smacked.
Quite frankly, I still kind of want to say that time. That times like, no, that's not. That's not my mom. Like, what? Nope. Whatever's happening there, new. But and also, like, there was a part of me as you're telling the story that I was like, wow, that mom had like the hardest out ever. Like, she could have been like, you're right, I'm not. Like,
see ya. Right.
You know what? I'm not. Guess what? You're on your own now.
He's right. My bad. I thought
don't let the door hit you,
not my kid. Like, and what would have happened with the, you know, that's like whenever my kids are like, don't want to, when they, I used to do that to them all the time when they didn't want to go or leave a place, you know, and I'd be like, okay, like a park, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home. And like,
I do it all the time. I'm like, see ya.
Yeah. And then you see them and they're like, bye. And then
I go right. But you know what? That used to work on my daughter.
Like, bye.
Yeah. Mine too. Now mine is like, okay, bye.
Mine doesn't
I'll
care.
See you later.
I remember.
Yeah. Mine never cared.
Was four, and I was like, I'm putting you in a timeout. She goes, good. I like them.
Reverse
and
psychology.
I go, she goes, it gives me time to think about you. I was like, she was 4 and a half. And I was like,
plotting your death.
Contemplate your death.
Yeah. She's like, I like to be quiet in the corner. Love it.
You know why? It's because she nearly took her finger off that one time. And she's never, ever forgiven you for it. She's like, you tried to kill me once. Like, I haven't forgotten. Right.
I'm watching you.
Sure. I'm watching you, right.
My friend Jason, who I do another show, the Parents Lounge Show, and he was telling me a story the other day how, because he has these nicknames, he's twin boys and then an older boy, and he has like nicknames for him. And I can't remember what it is, but it's like Prince of Darkness. Like he calls one of them like something like that, like the overlord or some underlord. But he's like, I fell asleep. He's like, I was sleeping and I woke up and that one, the Prince of Darkness or whatever he calls him, was holding a pillow up over, and he's like two and like almost 3 years old, was holding a pillow up like about, and he was like, he was gonna smother me. He's like, I can't. Like that kid was like red. I was like, oh my God. Like that's one of the scariest and funniest
things I've ever heard. I've seen that movie. I believe it was called The Good Son. I think it was Macaulay Culkin was in that one. Yeah, this doesn't end well.
Intrusive thoughts though.
Right. Also, Pet Sematary.
I sometimes have these intrusive thoughts of like, these kids are so little, right? And they're like, I don't know if you guys do, maybe this is like, do not say this out loud, but you ever go like, they could easily die. Like I could easily drop them down. Like I was holding my 3-year-old walking down the stairs. I was like, if I slipped, I could easily drop you, or I could just throw you. I wouldn't. how crazy it is that you are now like the protector of these little beings that you could easily kill. right? I'm saying, but by accident or not,
I think, you know what?
I watched too many of those stories. I'm like, you can just put a pillow over their head just if you wanted to.
Those intrusive thoughts, I think, are actually really common in women and really common with depression, anxiety. I have them all the time. I mean, I suffer from anxiety across the board in a really terrible way, but I used to.
Only medical anxiety. I only have with health. You know what I mean?
I think it's a child actor thing as well, though, too.
Daughter.
I think it's an everything. You know what? But I think it also makes it worse when you have too much No. It's your dopamine and your serotonin get raised really like too fast, and you're constantly looking for that quick fix because you had it when you were a kid, and your brain wasn't able to develop like a normal brain as you would go to, you know, high school and college. And, you know, for us, it was like so much of that so fast. And then you're constantly trying to, your brain's trying to find it, the serotonin and the dopamine. And then you find it in other things, right? Whether it's shopping, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, or whatever it is, you search for it. And I search for it in actually conflict, which is another story for another time. With my husband, when I'm not busy, I'm constantly searching
for
conflict in some way.
Oh, okay.
But I digress. Sorry, what were you saying?
Honestly, I have no idea other than I want to start a fight right now. No, I don't remember what I was saying. I honestly intrusive thoughts. That's right. I was having so many intrusive thoughts, I couldn't remember what I was saying. But I used to, when I was driving, like I remember, and still sometimes it'll happen to me when the kids were little, I would have to pull over because I suddenly would have a moment where I did not trust myself. I could just steer like on an off ramp or like I would be like, I could just steer off this right now. I don't trust that I might not. Oh my God, what if I do? What if I, like, I don't. Yeah. And like these intrusive thoughts of like, what if I just do some, like just go, what? And like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, what happens? What happens? What if I just do something and just steer into traffic or what? Like, and I'd have to stop. And I still will have that. I would have things before I even had kids where I would worry that I had, and this was in the days before backup cameras, that I had backed over a child. I would have to get out of my car and check. And I would have to do that sometimes a couple of times. I believe that's called OCD, but that's a whole other issue. I would have those intrusive thoughts where I'd, oh my God, what if something terrible happens? Just what if, like, what if accidentally right now I backed over a small child? Yeah. It's so, and they make no sense. And like, sometimes I'll have to pull over.
Feel
sometimes
like
something's
wrong with you.
You feel like, well, something's decidedly wrong with me. There's several things according to my diagnosis. But no, I just think that we don't realize how much hormonal shifts happen. And like those sorts of things are actually really common. And I think when women talk about like these intrusive thoughts where they're like, oh, I thought about that. Well, I thought about like, what if I just threw them? You know, oh my God, like you're horrified at the fact you would even think it.
I was like, this is a pillow.
You don't have any intention to do it, but like,
Well, that's why PPD is so, you know, dangerous.
Postpartum depression, right?
I don't even know.
Is that what you were going to say, Roxy?
That's what I was going to say, because I feel like postpartum depression, I know I've had friends that have suffered from that, and they say the same thing, like where they said, you know, like where those fleeting thoughts kind of come in your head. And, you know, of course, they didn't act on them, but it is real. I mean, it is a real thought, you know?
I think it's more than that. I think that it's super easy to just label, like, look, I've been anxiety my whole life, anxiety and depression. But I think it's so much more normal, these intrusive thoughts, because you are literally the sole carer of something that is, it's a lot of pressure that you can ruin them. You can, like, and then what goes further than ruin them or like is to kill them, right? Like you could, their entire safety is dependent on you and your actions. And to be honest, like, I don't even know if I can get myself ready in time to get out the door. And now people whose emotional, physical, and spiritual, all their wellness is me. And I don't even know if I fully trust myself in the world. And so I think it boils more down to that of like, you know, there's a lot of pressure to keep people alive, and it's up to you, and how easy it would be for you to not
to screw it up or to like, what if,
even if you don't want to, it's the what if, like, you know, I watch those murder documentaries before I go to bed, which really helps anxiety.
Oh my God, us too. We're all so locked up.
Like, he was put a pillow over his head. She lost her mind. I'm like, what if that's me?
It was a meme a while ago, and my fiance sent it to me, but it was like sitting next to my girlfriend with anxiety who's watching a murder documentary, and it says, you know, and then her eyeballs were plucked from her head, and then every single one of her eyelashes were ripped out, and we're like, ooh, popcorn, just watch, you know. And they're looking at us like, do you realize you're doing this to yourself? And you're like, oh, no, 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 no. That happens. These thoughts come anyway. I might as well just know that it's happening so that I can prepare for it and be really okay. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you're right.
It's more normal than people think. Listen, this is part of why we started, you know, our show is like to normalize things that moms and women go through. And that I was actually gonna ask you guys, like, is that what, why did you guys want to start? And I can't remember now because I have no memory. Did you tell us how you guys met? Because I don't remember if you did. And I want to know.
Tam, and how did we fall in love and meet?
I think it was through school. Our kids are the same age. They were in the same school in Los Angeles. And, you know, I really struggled with my identity after my first kid. Being in the public eye, for good or bad, like it was always like about me. I've learned a lot that life does not begin and end with me. But when you're on set, when you're a kid, it's like, you know, you want your shoe, here's your shoe, here's your tea, here's this, whatever you need is your hair, you know, and I've had to grow up. And I've had to trust myself because I always had all these people to like help me sort of do my job and live my life in a way. And then when I had a kid, I was like, wait a second. Like, I don't know if a lot of women feel this way, but I feel like a lot more do than say, but I was really selfish in my life. Like it was all about like what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to travel. Yes, I love my husband very much, but in a way, like he kind of bended to what I wanted to do. And then I had a kid and I was like, I had to sacrifice sort of everything. I feel like I'm still sacrificing most things. I've got about 30% of myself back. But the whole point I'm saying this is when I met Roxy, I was in a place of feeling really isolated. I felt really alone and I loved my child so much, but I don't know in the beginning if I loved being a mother. It felt really embarrassing and scary and shameful and vulnerable to even say that out loud. But I went through a lot of postpartum depression, which I've never suffered depression, always suffered anxiety. So I didn't understand what it felt like to feel nothing, like low. And like, I've never had that feeling. I've always been like, I feel too much. I feel too much. Like, take it away, take it away. Right. So I just felt nothing. Empty. And again, I loved my kids so much. And then I met Roxy, I think when our kids were like three, and I personally needed the show to save me in a way, because I started a blog at the time too, which is a motherhood blog, which is now sort of, because I don't feel all those things, is kind of on hiatus. I'm like, I don't feel that bad. I like being a mom. So when I met Roxy, I was in this really interesting time in my life where I just was searching for women who were honest and open and could say that my feelings were valid, because a lot of women and moms especially, they don't, because they like live in this whole pain of it all and no one talks about it. And so when I met Roxy, I was like, you know, I want to do this. It wasn't just about motherhood, really. It was just about not feeling stuck in all this, all these feelings I have. I just wanted to talk to other people that felt more aligned in my own journey. And so when I met Roxy, I was just like, wow, I'm so grateful that we can do this. And it was never about numbers or money or like you know, people go, oh, we got a podcast deal. And we got a great podcast deal. But that was never what it was about. It was just about a need and a necessity for me. So I don't know what Roxy, what it was about for you, but yeah, sorry if that's like, too tough that. For you to hear.
Well,
that's a lot to take on. That's a lot to take on.
It is a full-time job that I love. No.
Yeah, with me. Yeah.
You know, there was always a shorthand with Tamman and I, like when we talked, it was like, we got to the point, but we did it in a way that was really fun and really open and honest and like raw when we needed to be raw. And like, we never kind of hid things from one another. And, you know, it was always an open conversation for us. But I think the main part of it is like, even when we're talking about the serious subjects, we always had fun doing it. We enjoyed what we were doing, you know, and we feel passionate about talking about things, you know, that range from our kids to our careers to anal sex.
Oh my God, Roxy!
Roxy keeps bringing it back to anal sex.
Bringing it back to anal sex.
Roxy!
Like, I think that's what she's trying to say.
Yeah, I feel like maybe she's like, This is what she's hoping the third date
Roxy's looking for me. Yeah. Direction tonight.
I just
communicate your needs, honey. Tell me what you want.
I'm calling it out. I bet Roxy
is just do it. Yeah.
I know there's a third date rule, but I'm not sure that that includes anal. I feel like you have to like.
Roxy, right? Tell me right now on this show. I don't even believe you've had anal sex. I bet
you know what?
No, with your husband. I do. I'm almost certain.
And Jody, you're like, have you?
Late breaking news, everyone. Roxy Manning.
Gather around, ladies. Let's talk about it. I have had the slip. You know the slip? The slip when it gets
the wrong place.
That doesn't count.
No, but it kind of went up there a little bit. And I was like,
I don't know.
We never thought that we'd say that our guest revealed. Yeah. We never thought we'd talk about anal sex, and here we are.
Here we are.
Can it be half? Can it be
actually,
half?
Actually, I don't know that we half never half thought half? We'd talk about it. We just were like, we haven't talked about it yet.
Wait, Kelsey. Can it be half anal sex? No, I don't really think it works like that.
Not unless it goes like that, and that's all right.
Half?
Just a tip.
Half of what? It's half long ways?
It's like a slip and slide.
I don't believe it.
First of all, I don't know what kind of
there, and all of a sudden it's a half. I know what you're gonna say.
All I'm saying is slip and slide. I don't know what kind of lube you're using, Roxy, or what you guys are doing.
Or how big your balls are. You don't have a slip and slide.
I mean, yeah, I don't know that I'd talk about that. I feel like that might be something that you want to speak with your physician about, that you have a slip and slide of a butthole. Okay.
Slip and slide of a butthole is not it.
This is also a lot younger, 15 years ago. You know, things worked differently down there.
Was your butthole bigger then?
What works differently?
I thought it went the other way. I thought it was smaller when you were younger, and as you aged, it grew.
I'm just taking notes for my Tinder account when I'm ready to start dating again.
When you're younger, it's quicker to get, you know.
Let me hear how you get yourself out of this one. How do you explain that you haven't really had anal sex, but it sort of went in there, but not quite. But oh my God, it was just, there was so much happening, and then it just went boop and you were in.
Yeah. Also, when you're not totally ready for it, it is a bit of a shocker. You know, if it goes, wait.
There is something called a shocker as well. Not get those two things confused.
Let's not get.
It does have to do with the butthole.
There's something called a shocker.
You have not had anal sex.
Okay, I wouldn't say not. I'd say
you're just like, I can understand it, but you're not part of the team.
I have pegged many a man, but never done it the other way.
No, of course not.
I think when you
Great, that's fine. Oh my God, I can't believe we've said this on our show, and I think it's been said, and we can't go back, and now we have to leave on that.
And I feel bad because now we're going to be known as like those two girls that talked about butts.
Everyone has them, right?
One would hope. If all is going according to plan, yes, everyone does have one.
I'm not sure that everybody has had half anal sex before.
And it really gives new meaning
to the word half and half, right? No longer am I going to think of creamer.
In the morning with your coffee.
Exactly. And it only happened once, Roxy? Is it only a one-time thing? Or is it a slip and slide.
And does it count as one time, or is it 0.5 of a time since it was only
half? Is it half a time? I guess it was only one time.
I think the one half time was enough for me.
And did you have a conversation afterwards?
There's still time for more. Well, ladies,
I'm so glad that we've had this conversation. I'm really proud. You know what? Oh, trust me, if you feel bad, don't. If you think this is one of the most inappropriate things we've talked about, it's probably top five, but not the worst. So
we talked about this subject on the first episode.
Yeah, just know that our podcasts are very, like, and I don't mean to do this, but we're very, like, we're aligned. You know what I'm saying?
It's halfway,
at least right now. We're halfway in right now.
Our podcasts are halfway up each other's butts.
I love that.
Just a poke, but I do want to ask my last question, Roxy. Did you have a conversation? Was it just silence,
or did you just not look each other in the eye for like 3 days?
I think we didn't talk about it. I think we left it.
I'd be like, on the bed.
I don't want to know what you left on the bed if it was half in your butt.
Oh, okay. And then we need to leave.
Good thing I did.
Oh my god, I'm out. My poor.
I'm done. I quit. Celia, we found our match. We fucking found our match. We've been looking. It's taken us five fucking seasons and a lot of guests.
Imagine if we're in
person. We finally found somebody who's going to take our inappropriate and go, oh, you want to do inappropriate? I see that. And I raise you, bitch. And I go up here. And the best part is I'm in for all of it. Not half in, all the way. All the way up your butt. If you really want to go all the way up Roxy Manning and take Mr. Sirsak, but
halfway.
But it was only that one time.
Make sure you check out. Don't be a commitment phobe. Go all the way up their butt.
Go all the way up their butts and listen to all four seasons of their podcast. Where can they find you, ladies? If they're looking to find you,
don't get the first couple podcasts.
If they're looking to meet you halfway, where can they find you?
You know what, Roxy?
And that woman on top sounds really terrible.
So, Roxy, you tell them where everyone can find us.
You did it, Roxy. You made your bed. Now you fucking lie.
Here we go. It's not just the tip. Come all the way with us to Women Talks.
She couldn't get it out. That's what probably happened that night. Couldn't get it out.
That's why it was only halfway in. Okay, sorry.
That's stuck. Oh my goodness.
That, now the slip and slide makes more sense. It was more of a slip and squish.
I think it's women, what is it now? I'm so flustered. Women on Top Official on Instagram and Women on Top Facebook on Facebook. But if you just
no, Women on Top Podcast.
They're as good as we are.
But if you go to podcasts, like seriously, people go, where can we find you? I was like, just go to any podcast. It's like a Woman on Top. I'm breastfeeding on the cover and Roxy's drinking with a shirt that says family is sacred. That's where you can find us.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
So we're inappropriate.
You can't
miss. We know this.
All right, find your Women on Top podcast, correct?
On Instagram. But then just find Women on Top anywhere.
Oh my God, on Facebook.
Where's Women on Top on Instagram?
Here's the deal, everyone.
Women on Top Official on Instagram.
Oh God, Women on Top Official on Instagram. And then Roxy Manning, is it Red Carpet? What is your Instagram?
Red Carpet Roxy with a Y on all social media platforms. Red Carpet Roxy.
Red Carpet Roxy, just a tip. And Tam and Sirsak all the way. Well, no, just Tam and Sirsak. But now that you know.
I just want to say that I know more about these two in 2 hours of our experience together. I would like to say more than I know about Celia Behar, but we all know that's a lie. So I would just like to say I am so glad that we found our twin flames of podcasts.
Seriously.
I am always like, oh, these poor women have no idea how far off the rails are going to go.
And I zip it for most of the time. I'm so glad.
I'm so glad we found each other. And I feel like probably there's a lot of people out there that regret that we found each other, but here we are. So make sure you check out at Never Thought I'd Say This across all socials. Unless you're on Twitter, it's Never Thought I'd. You can email us neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. Save your hate mail for some other show because we've got enough.
Not us.
If you'd like to find me at Jody Sweeten across all socials. Also, hate mail is all full there, so please find someone else. Celia, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at the Celia Bear. I'm only half in on social media, so that's pretty much the only place you can find me. And you know. It's fine. And by the way, I think actually
you are half in. Well, Jody, I don't know. Are you full or half?
Well, she has to say full because of Fuller House.
Look, I mean, look,
Mac House. I think you're a full in. That's the
funny. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
You know who I am.
Now the title of this episode might need to be just the tip.
Just the tip.
I mean, these stars. Right. Just some tips with right with women on top.
Yeah,
and not that way. That's right. There's so many ways we could go with this. Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, Never Nation, all of you listening out there, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Yes.
Don't kill your kids anymore either. Or your slip and slide. Don't kill the
slip and slide.
Or your butthole. Yeah, no.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audioboom original.